Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
That time again. It is Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're listening on this time, it's the Master Plan. I am JT, and we're going to be breaking down week 13 on the fantasy football schedule and on the real schedule, NFL. Remember, like I always say, on a Saturday, I would break down win losses. On a Sunday, I break down fantasy. That's how it rolls here on the weekend during football season. Got a great show in store for you today. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the master, and that's me, JT. All right, you got a chat room sitting out there. If you want to ask your question, make a statement or a comment in that chat room, you can also do that. That's for your convenience. Whatever you put into it, it's what you're going to get out of it. That's all I got to say. So you get to come in foul, you're going to get out foul. Let me put it that way. All right? All right, we got week 13. No more buys for most people. Now, it's not all, because I'm in the league right now, and the playoffs start this week. And I'm saying that for most leagues, the playoffs start week 14, I'm sorry. So this is the last chance for those who are on the edge of trying to get into the playoffs to make that one last push to do that. Otherwise, it's, oh well, maybe next year. Let me put it that way. I would say this, though. I'm not a fan of two-week playoff rounds. And I'm in one league. I won the league not last season, the season before last. So I won it in 2013. I'm the number one seed in that league. I'm the number one seed in that league. And it's a two-week round. So I have week 12 and 13 as the week 13 and 14 as the first round. Because only four teams out of 12 get into the playoffs. So it's two rounds for each. Basically, it's a semifinal. Let me put it that way. So it's week 13 and 14, and then whoever comes out the victor in week 13 and 14. Play 15 and 16 to decide who wins the championship. Got a good shot. Like I said, I'm number one seed. Hope you've been following my picks. I know I've boloed or didn't come through on a few of them, but there's quite a few of them that I have been on spot on. That if you had picked them up, you'd done well. In a few weeks, some of them have tailed off, but don't lose faith. They're still going to be viable. I'm going to try to name some other ones in this week to help you going into the playoffs. Hopefully you listen to me about Jonathan Stewart. He's got one of the best fantasy schedules for a running back. From here on, trust me when I say that. He played Atlanta twice, okay? And trust me when I say that. you should, if you hadn't picked him up quite naturally, the trade deadline has gone past my trade deadline for two of my leagues was December 2nd. We had extended it because most of them were either the week of Thanksgiving or the week before Thanksgiving. So hopefully it had done something and try to do it before your trade schedule, because I've been pushing things out about playoff schedule and favorable schedules for the last few weeks. So hopefully you listen. But it's week 13, people. Week 13. And it's time to make that last push to get into the playoffs. If you're just that close, in my family league, I'm the ninth seed. We have eight seeds that get into it. I won it back-to-back years. And let me tell you something, people. Whoever's played me tried to win at and they, for the most part, they've been succeeding. Even my own son, trying to push me out, make sure I don't get into the playoffs. And I'm not just saying that. He said that to my face a few weeks ago. I'm trying to keep you out of the playoffs. I got one last-ditch effort. My team, believe it or not, I've been struggling all year. And my team is probably one of the better teams right now in the league, but there's a strong possibility if I win and I don't get any help from someone else, I'll be out of the playoffs. I'll be out of the playoffs, and I can't remember the last time in the family league I was out of the playoffs. But with the help of my son, one of them, and a few other people, unfortunately, that may come to pass. But you still got to win and then hope for some help. And with the theme of the song, you got to fight the power. That B. Fight the power. Isley Brothers, back in the day, back in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, you got to fight the power. That B. So fight that power that's trying to knock you out of the playoffs and do your best. And I'm going to try to help you to do that. So without further ado, I've wasted about 8 minutes of your time, but I'm not going to try to do it anymore. We're going to jump into, now you got to pay attention to inactives, but for the most part, we're going to go down each and every matchup. There is no more buys. No more buys. No more buys. No more excuses. Okay? Green Bay and Detroit had a heck of a game with Green Bay winning on a Hail Mary. So that game's out of the way. So we got 15 other games to deal with. And we're going to go through them as quick as possible. And then try to give you also the games that may be weather affected. It's nice and bright and brisk on the East Coast. And we're going to start right there with the Jets, the New York Football Jets versus the New York Football Giants. Two teams going in two different directions. One team is a viable playoff contender. The other team playing just for respectability, really. And for their playoff life, the Giants are 5-6, really in second place because they're tied with Washington. Washington, quite naturally, if you know you're a Giant fan, you know that Washington beat the Giants last week handily, and the Jets are 6-5. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a clear day. I can imagine the Jets and Giants fans, it's going to be a fantastic football day, weather-wise, depending on whose fan you are, depends on what kind of day you're going to have. But it's going to be in the 50s, clear, quite naturally. It's an outdoor stadium, great football a day it be in MetLife Stadium. Let's go to the game matchups, and I'd have to say this. If you're hurting for a quarterback, you don't have Tony Romo, you don't have too much faith in Matt Ryan, which you shouldn't, because Matt Ryan has been playing like hot garbage, a turnover machine. One of the most consistent quarterbacks, believe it or not, is Ryan Fitzpatrick, former quarterback for my Houston Texans. I don't like him. I think he's still a career backup, but he's with Shane Gailey in the offense that he knows the best. Shane Gailey seems to get the best out of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I have to admit that. He scored in every full game that he's played this year, and most have been with two touchdowns. So last week was his best of the season. He had threw for 277 yards and four touchdowns against the division rival Dolphins. So as long as Fitzpatrick doesn't face a top secondary, he'll be very consistent, and I can see him throwing two TDs today. So if you missed out on Tony Romo because of injury, you're down on Matt Ryan, and you're looking for a quarterback, this guy should not be on the waiver wire. This should be on somebody's roster. I think he has a great shot of kicking the Giants' butt this week, and I would recommend you putting him in your lineup. I know it's the week that you may be make or break, but what do you have to lose? Let me put it at this point. What do you have to lose? Put Ryan Fitzpatrick in there. This is basically a home game for the Jets and the Giants. I mean, Giants are supposed to be the home team, but both teams play out of MetLife Stadium. So it doesn't make a difference who's designated, in quotation marks, the home team. Both of them are really playing at home. So you play Eric Decker with no problem. You play Brandon Marshall with absolutely no issue with that. And you know what? Because the Giants are not that good against the run. They're one of the worst teams preventing fantasy points against the running back position. They defend the pass, believe it or not, better than any other position to last against in the quarterback preventing fantasy points. The 24th in preventing fantasy points in the against the running back, 18th against the wide receiver, and 31st against the tight end. And if you're an opposing team against the Giants, your kicker is going to be in position to be able to make some field goals because the Giants are 25th against that. So what I'm saying, Randy Bullock, that sounds familiar, Texan fans. Randy Bullock used to be the kicker for the Texans. Now he's a kicker for the Jets. He's going to be a good player. I think the Jets are going to be able to get be able to move the football, even if they don't get into the end zone, which I think they're going to do at least a couple times. They're going to be in position to kick field goals, and Randy Bullock is going to benefit from that. On the other side of the ball, well, you know what? They're playing the Jets, and the Jets without Darrelle Revis for the second week in a row, still dealing with, concussion symptoms. And even with Darrelle in there, the Jets have been susceptible to the pass. They happen to be 24th against the wide receiver position. They're a little better against the quarterback, preventing fantasy points. They're 17th. But the Jets can be passed on. That's one of their weaknesses. They can be passed on. So I would definitely play Eli because I think that's the way they're going to have to be able to move the football because the Jets are number four. They're in the top five in preventing fantasy points against running back position. So you got to be able to pass the ball through the Jets. And I think the Eli and company, that includes Odell Beckham, who I think is going to be running wild. Because they don't have anybody to contend. If they don't have Revis, Antonio Cromartie is too long and too is not the type of DB that can hang with Odell. Let me put it that way. So Antonio is going to be posterized more than once if he goes up against Odell. So Odell Beckham is a definite play here, from, in my opinion. You're looking for a flex position, and you got somebody sitting out there, maybe Dwayne Harris. Eli's going to have to throw the ball more than one person here. I'm not too high of Ruben Randall this week, but I do like Dwayne Harris. I think he's a little bit more shiftier. His hands are suspect, but I think he's a little bit more shiftier, and he gets a shot to get into the end zone. I wouldn't even recommend playing any of those running backs. No way. Rashad Jennings, Shane Vereen, I know they want to try to be able to be balanced on offense against this Jet defense. I don't think it's going to happen. All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket here. Let's try to get through these games as quick as possible. This is a team that I really like. I liked in the beginning at the quarterback. I really like the coach because he's one of those. There's a couple of coaches that I really like, and I talked to a few people before the fantasy season and told them, or advised them, let me put it that way, that look at the offensive coordinator, look at the offensive philosophy of the certain teams, and gives you a good idea of who you should pick up, whether it's the quarterback, wide receiver, or the running back in that, or running backs or running wide receivers in that on that team. Well, one of these teams, I touted this quarterback, and a lot of people that are in leagues where I was in have, and this is one of the caveats you have. I talk a lot on the airways about before the season and to other people about who you should pick up, who I really like, who I think is going to ball out that a lot of people aren't looking at. And the bad thing about it is when people ask you advice, you're in a catch-22 for the simple reason. Now, you're trying to keep the information to yourself so you can use it for yourself, but you're in a position that you got to be able to give the information out to help other people. And sometimes it comes to bite you in the butt. Well, it comes to bite me in the butt in a few spots, in a few leagues, where I had talked about Carson Palmer being a sleeper pick and a lot of people not seeing him on the radar. And what I'm saying is this, and I keep on saying it, and I've said it in the prior to the season, and you hear me spout this week in and week out, and I'm going to say it again till I'm blue in the face. I said, talked to some people and told them, look at the offensive philosophy, look at what the type of quarterback it is and how it fits into the system. And this is one of these guys, Carson Palmer, and I said it last year and I keep on saying it, one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL, bar none. In a Bruce Arian offense who likes to push the ball down the field with wide receivers that can get downfield and get open and get downfield. Picked him up in late rounds, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes, 12th round. Picked up Carson Palmer in one of the leagues. In that league, I'm the number one seed. What I'm saying is this. Look at the offensive philosophy, and you understand if the quarterback fits that philosophy of what the offensive coordinator or the head coach wants to do. And Bruce Arian, and a lot of people underestimate the offense of the Arizona Cardinals, just like they underestimated over the last few years until they exploded. And I try to tell people this. I'm talking about Todd Haley and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was on that bandwagon two seasons ago, not 2015, not 2014, 2013, when I could see what was going on. Steady progression. The same thing is here with the Cardinals. You play Carson Palmer. I know it's a tough matchup. They're going against a stiff St. Louis defense, and St. Louis is playing at home. Carson Palmer struggled last week only because, and I watched that game. I watched the game specifically because I wanted to see how he would play on the road against the San Francisco team that's trying to really establish themselves, establish a new identity with a quarterback. Very conservative play calling from Bruce Arians. Overconfident play calling from Bruce Arians. Let me put it that way. Seemed like the team just thought they could just show up. Got into a dogfight, and eventually Cardinals won, but it wasn't easy. I don't think that's going to happen again. This is the second road game. They're playing St. Louis in the dome. All these players on the Cardinals are built to play on the turf, whether it's home or away. Arizona is going to be putting up some points on here. You play Carson Palmer, he's going to throw for a couple of touchdowns. Probably one is Larry Fitzgerald, which is out of doubt. David Johnson is going to get huge touches here. Hopefully you got David Johnson, and he didn't, or you picked him up. You know that Chris Johnson is out for the year. Andre Ellington is hurt with a turf toe or some type of foot injury, ankle, whatever it is. He's out. David Johnson is the man. Powerful running back, can catch the football and also run the football, and he'll be able to run the football against this defense, even though and that's probably one of the weakest parts of this defense, is 18th in preventing fantasy points against the running back position. Fourth against the quarterback, third against the wide receiver. So you're saying, well, how can you say play Carson Palmer? Come on. I think Carson Palmer is matchup proof, tell you the truth, people. And I think he'll do well playing on the road. I know this is Jeff Fisher, and I know that the defense is going to be stout here with Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator. You play Carson Palmer. Play Larry Fitzgerald. You play, and I have to temper my expectations. And this is a sleeper pick here. And it's a toss-up here because I know one of these guys is going to you have to be suspect. If Michael Floyd plays, you play him. If hopefully you picked up J.J. Nelson, who's, I think, a little bit more explosive, he can fly, let me put it that way, and he's got the perfect quarterback to get the ball to him, especially on the turf. J.J. Nelson, look out for him. He's a big play wide receiver. He can get you, let me put it this way, the way that this offense is set up, one play from J.J. Nelson can get you 14 fantasy points. 50-yard pass, and a touchdown at that, that's double digits from one play. J.J. Nelson can do that for you. I also like the field goal kicker in here because they're going to get in position to either kick field goals or extra points. This offense moves the ball, and I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again today. You want to get kickers that from offense that can move the football. If they don't get into the end zone, fine, but if they'll get in position to kick field goals, and that's what you need. You can pick up a quick 3 points on one play. And if they consistently get it into field goal range without getting into the end zone, two or three field goals, depending on your scoring system, most scoring systems are 3 points for each field goal. You can get three field goals, 9 points. 9 points is pretty gold for a field goal kicker. And that's not even taken away if they get into the end zone with the extra points. Then you're talking double digits. On the St. Louis side, you know what? I know Todd Gurley hasn't been playing well. I know the defenses have been gearing up for Todd Gurley. You play Todd Gurley. If he's not a running back one, he's a low-end running back two, definitely a flex play. But you play Todd Gurley because you know that the talent is there. They're going to try to get Todd Gurley to run the football because that's a Jeff Fisher type team. Run the football with a stud running back and then take your shots with basically a complimentary wide receiver and tight end. I don't like any of the other positions. They're not consistent enough on the St. Louis side to warrant anything like that. And I'd have to pass on every St. Louis Rams other than Todd Gurley. All right, let's move on to the next game. I spent a little bit too much time on that. Let's move on to the and I had talked about this guy before, Matt Ryan, and it's Falcons going to Tampa Bay. This is one of these teams, Atlanta Falcons, that do not play well on the road, and they haven't really been playing well at all, to tell you the truth. I see Matt Ryan. Matt Bryan is out, the kicker. They picked up Shane Grain. He'll do the kicking. Supposedly, Austin Severian Jenkins is clear to play. He's listed as questionable. He's likely to be active, but his role may not be clear yet. He's missed two months of playing time. You know what, people? This is one of these guys. Tampa Bay has a favorable schedule in the tight end position going forward. And you're missing Heath Miller. I know he's not a real big play, but you're missing Jimmy Graham. You're missing Rob Gronkowski. Austin Severian Jenkins was a target for Jameis Winston before he got hurt. So what makes you think that he won't be a target, an additional target, along with Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans again? So in my opinion, it's pretty cut and dry that if I was to go with take a chance on a tight end, and especially a tight end with a favorable schedule, in my opinion, I would go with I have to back up and saying he's got a favorable schedule. He's got a decent schedule, but you know what? It's a young tight end with a rookie quarterback that for the most part, I would definitely go with. All right. Just think about the schedule that Tampa Bay has going forward in the fantasy playoffs. New Orleans, okay, in week 14. St. Louis is a tough matchup in week 15. And then he goes against the Chicago Bears. And two or three of those games are home. The only game that's on the road is in St. Louis. And I would have to say that, in my opinion, he's a good play and a good stash. If he doesn't play or he gets spot starts this week, I can guarantee you let's see what he's got type of game. Give him limited snaps. Get him accumulated to game flow, and then he'll go off at home against New Orleans and Tampa Bay. That's just what I'm thinking, okay? But what I'm saying is this. I would play Matt Ryan. I'm not a big Matt Ryan fan, but I think going against the Tampa Bay defense, which is 22nd against the in preventing fantasy points against running quarterback position, 23rd in wide receiver position. So you play Matt Ryan. I think Devontae Freeman, Tampa Bay defense is top 15 in preventing fantasy points against the running back position. But Devontae Freeman, I think, is a I would say he's matchup proof. I think I would play him without reservation here. quite naturally, this is a no-brainer to me. You play Julio Jones. Leonard Hankerson is on IR. He's done for the season. So it's Roddy White, Justin Hardy, and one of the consistent targets of Matt Ryan is Jake and Tammy, who is the tight end. And I think they can rack up some points on the tight end position. On the other side, Doug Martin, I think he should be pretty consistent here, going against the 30th-ranked defense in running back, preventing running back points, fantasy points, I should say. So Doug Martin's a definite play for me here. You got to play Mike Evans. Mike Evans is a consistent target for Jameis Winston. I think Vincent Jackson is a consistent target for double-digit points in fantasy. And I don't expect he could be a flex play, a wide receiver three, somewhere around there. And it's another sleeper here. Now, I'm not saying that, like I said, they may transition Austin Seferian Jenkinson to see, you know, just get him in football speed and whatever, and really unleash him next week. But I think Cameron Brate, who's been picking up the slack for in the tight end position, is a sneaky play here. I know that you don't need sneaky plays. You need solid plays here. But Cameron Brate, B-R-A-T-E, scored once and caught two passes for 48 yards in the last meeting with the Falcons. He also scored in each of the last two games. Even though his yardage was low, he's a red zone target for Jameis Winston, and that's what you need. You rack up those red zone targets, and hopefully you can get a touchdown out of him. Well, Cameron Brate. All right, let's move on to we got a lot of games to cover, and BS, not sure they're BSing around here. Well, let's go, the Panthers and the Saints. Is this the trap game? Is this the game that people are looking past, including the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints, division rival, hated division rival, to tell you the truth. Carolina's going to New Orleans, and that New Orleans offense, oh, where have you gone? Where have you gone to New Orleans offense? There's talk that Sean Payton may not be there after this year. There's talk that the Drew Brees' skills have declined. The offense, the whole team have really taken a few steps backwards. And Saints are 4-7, 3-2 at home. On a three-game losing streak, and they're going up against the Panthers, who quite naturally people know are undefeated. You got to play Cam Newton. I think he throws for a couple touchdowns and runs for another. There's no two ways about it. I told you about Jonathan Stewart. I still think he's got one of the best schedules for a running back in the league. One of the best schedules for a running back in the league. Trust me, going to fantasy playoffs, you want at the advantage. So your Jonathan Stewart fans and owners, you should be able to reap the rewards from here on, or probably reaping the rewards for the last 2 or 3 weeks, because he's really been balling out. And he's got a favorable schedule. Like I said, he plays Atlanta Falcons twice out of the next 3 weeks. Twice. And I don't see him having any problem this week playing the New Orleans Saints, who are 32nd, 31st, 21st, 32nd in preventing fantasy points in this order, just like I named them: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and a tight end position, meaning they are absolutely the bottom of the barrel, if not close to it, in any kind of defensive part of slowing down their opposition. So you play Cam Newton, you play Jonathan Stewart. You know what? This boy has been balling out. He's a rookie. He's getting more and more touches. He's getting more and more. Taking him a while, but he's getting more and more acclimated to the offense. I'm talking about Devin Funchess. Yes, Devin Funchess. I would play him this week. Wide receiver 3. with upside in here. I think he does get into the end zone. He's a big, big boy and red zone target that he likes. And quite naturally, Cam Newton's BFF is Greg Olsen. I think he gets a bell here. I think he gets a bend. Yes, I think he gets 100 yards here and quite six or seven catches quite naturally because that's who he is. I mean, he's Cam. He's Cam's outlet. He loves him. And on the other side, does Drew Brees hold here? Now, you're going up against a defense that is balling out. Top 10 defense in preventing fantasy points in the quarterback, running back, wide receiver position, even against the kicker. The top 15 and 14th, to be exact, in preventing fantasy points against the tight end. So do you play Ben Watson? Well, I think because of the pass rush and what takes place, I know that the linebackers are very active and are very skilled in Tommy Davis and Luke Kuechly, that Ben Watson may have issues, but I still like Ben Watson in there. Ben Watson in here because Willie Snead is out. He's not going to play this week, so that means there's going to be more targets to Brandon Coleman, who's going to step in. Marcus Colston, Brandon Cooks is going to be shadowed by Josh Norman, and good luck with that. He shut down many of wide receivers, and I think he shut down Brandon Cooks in here. But you got to play Drew Brees, okay? That's probably your number one number one quarterback. So you got to play him, without a doubt, and hope for the best because this is, like I said, this is a defense, one of the top defenses in fantasy and reality that either shuts teams down or slows them down against their regular numbers. Let me put it that way. And you've got to play Mark Ingram. I think he gets you double digits, mid-double digits, 14, 15 points in a combination of running the football and catching passes out of the backfield, which he's become very adept at doing. So I think that's going to happen well for him. So let's move on to – let's move on to a another matchup and see how it goes here. Let's go against the Seattle Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings. Now, a lot of people say don't play Stephon Diggs. A lot of people say don't play Stephon Diggs because of Richard Sherman. Well, you know what? I've been thinking about this more and more, and – Antonio Brown didn't have a bad day against Richard Sherman. I know that Marcus Wheaton balled out because everyone was concentrating on Martavius Bryant and Antonio Brown. Stephon Diggs, so you know what? This is just a gut call. They say that Stephon Diggs. I'm saying this. Play Stephon Diggs. I have confidence in Stephon Diggs because they're playing at home. They're playing against the Seattle defense, especially Legion of Boom, that can be passed on. Look at what the Pittsburgh Steelers did in Seattle and the Arizona Cardinals have done. I know that we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer, but I'm also saying that I think Stephon Diggs can get enough fantasy points to be satisfied here. And I'm looking for a big play. They're going to be running the football, which they can be run on against this defense. And this is just a gut call for me. Okay. They're seventh. Preventing fantasy points in the quarterback position. Second against preventing fantasy points against the running back position. Fifth in wide receiver, and 29th, I should say, in tight end position. So if you don't have Kyle Rudolph, he's sitting on your waiver wire, you shouldn't be. This is one of the weeks that you play Kyle Rudolph because he's going to have a – should have a very good – statistically, should have a very good day today because they don't defend the tight end position of the opposition. I'm talking about Seattle. So, in my opinion, you play Stephon Diggs. Teddy Bridgewater's got to throw to somebody. So I'm saying if he doesn't throw it to the tight end, he's going to be throwing to Stephon Diggs. Targets, equal opportunities. And I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to throw the football because they're going to try their best, talking about Seattle, to prevent Adrian Peterson from going off. So they're going to concentrate all their energies in stopping the run and have Teddy beat them. And Stephon Diggs is one of the wide receivers that are going to benefit from that. On the other side, you got to play Thomas Rawls. I know Minnesota is seventh in preventing fantasy points against the running back position, but you got to play Thomas Rawls. They do an excellent job preventing fantasy points at quarterback, and I think Russell Wilson is not going to do what he did last week against Pittsburgh, and the wide receivers are not going to be able to do what they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is going to be a very interesting game to watch, and I wouldn't be surprised if the home team won it. So, and I'm just saying that. All right, let's move on, and that's going to be 35 degrees and overcast. So it's going to be, I wouldn't say ideal football weather, but it's going to be nice and clear weather to play with. All right, let's move on to my Texans, my Houston Texans. And this is a scary game for me, people. They're going to play Buffalo in Buffalo. I'm saying this could be a big letdown game, and Buffalo could run wild, but I don't think it's going to happen. Carlos Williams is out. Brian Hoyer has been thrown for on the average of 250 yards and two touchdowns. And Buffalo, I know everybody's touting Rex Ryan's defenses, but if you look at the last few years of Rex Ryan's defenses, his backside, meaning his DBs, meaning the pass defense, has been getting torched. And it's been no different here. They're 19th. And 14th, let me put this again. They're 14th and 19th in preventing fantasy points in the quarterback and wide receiver position. And believe it or not, this supposedly stout position is 21st in preventing fantasy points against the running back position. So what's that telling you? It's telling me is this, that the quarterback can make plays, that the running back can make plays, that the wide receiver can make plays. They're better in preventing fantasy points against the tight end position. But what we need to do, and I'm talking about the Texans, is be able to run the football. I know we have Alfred Blue. This has become a passing offense over the last few weeks. And Brian Hoyer, like I said, has been averaging about 250 yards and two touchdowns. And I think he can do it here. I also like, quite naturally, you got to play DeAndre Hopkins. And you got to play Cecil Shorts. I know a lot of people are saying, well, Cecil Shorts, he used to be with the Jaguars. He's the number two wide receiver. They don't have any number two wide receivers. Well, they do. And Brian Horry gets it either to Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington. And Cecil Shorts gets the better part of that. I think he gets a shot into the end zone along with DeAndre Hopkins. And on the other side of the ball, I don't think Sean McCoy – they're going to be able to run the football, okay? Houston's 19th to prevent fantasy points in against the running back, 10th against the quarterback, and 8th against the wide receiver position. So they're a little better at preventing fantasy points in the wide receiver position. So I'm saying this, that I don't think Sammy Watkins he may have a shot to get into the end zone, but for the most part, I think they're going to slow this team down, and they average, Texans average 11 points they give the opposition each week, 11 points. So this is not a high-powered offense in Buffalo, and I don't think that it's going to be a high-scoring game. And I got to call it here. Let me call it. I think I know this guy. caller from the 609. Caller from the 609, welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and what you got to say. Hey, what's up, man? How you been?
Hey, good, real good, real good. Jersey in the house. Hey, Junior's away this week. He's in his comp league. He's got a PPR league. He wins, he's in. He's 7-5. He's won 7 out of the last 8 games. The first 4 games, he was Mr. Foster, Gurley, you know, Bryant, all his studs. Now, here's the dilemma we have. He's got Hopkins starting. He's got Landry. He's got Beckham, and he's got Martavis Bryant as his flex. He's got Gates in instead of Barnum, so now he shuts down the tight end. His dilemma is he usually plays Gurley. He's got Gurley. He's got Johnson from Arizona in there now in a PPR league. But on his bench, he's got McFadden, who has been struggling, who gave him 11 points last week because of 6 receptions for 45 yards. He has C.J. Anderson. Now, C.J. Anderson's intriguing, but you got Hillman in there. Yes, San Diego's bad. Yes, he did have a good game last week. Yes, Kubiak wants to run the ball. So out of those 4, you know, Gurley, who did have 169 yards the first time against St. Louis, but 100 of them were in garbage time in the fourth quarter. Gurley is getting back that offensive lineman that was missed in week 11 and 12, that rookie from Wisconsin. So whether that makes a difference, I do not know. Could it be a shootout and then Trey Mason comes in? So the question Junior has is, do we go with Gurley? We need 2. Gurley, Johnson from Arizona, C.J. Anderson, McFadden. Out of those 4, which 2 do you like PPR? He's a muscle, he wins, he's in the playoffs.
Okay. Well, the one guy I absolutely love this week because he's going to be involved in the passing game along with the running game is Johnson from Arizona. That's a no-brainer for me right there. That's a no-brainer for me right there. The other guy, you know what? McFadden is playing who? McFadden is playing
Washington Monday night. And sometimes he hasn't scored a touchdown yet. But
yeah.
Like
C.J. Anderson. C.J. Anderson's playing in San Diego. At San Diego, San Diego's one of the worst teams, if not the worst team against the run. But you got Ronnie Hillman, like you said there. So they split the time.
Yeah.
I've been on this kid ever since he started playing it. And if I was going to go down, I'm going to go down with the best. So I'm going to go down with Todd Gurley. If I go down, they're in the same game. I think that Gurley somehow figures it out. He's playing at home, which is better than if he's playing in Arizona.
Right.
So what I would go with is 2 guys that play in the same game.
Johnson
and Gurley.
And he's getting that lineman back, supposedly, I forget his name, who's a rookie from Wisconsin, who we didn't have week 11 and 12.
Right.
And that's why I'm wondering. And I know Arizona's real stout. I think they're ranked 4th against the run. And like you said, they are stock in the box, but they were missing that lineman. Does that one lineman make a difference? I don't know. But like you said, do you go down with the guys you started? Because he's basically, ever since Gurley came back, Gurley's always been in the lineup. You know, it's been Foster in there. It's been Deion Lewis in there, but he lost both of them. Then it's been pretty much McFadden. He hasn't played C.J. Anderson. I don't think he played Spencer Ware either, but he hasn't played C.J. Anderson probably since week 4 because he wasn't doing anything, but he was limited in what he had because he was waiting for guys like Foster to come back, Gurley to come back, you know what I mean? So Lewis picked up a little. So you're like you said, go down with your best, not try to overthink things, but it is a tough matchup. Again, it's in St. Louis, and maybe that has something to do with it, you know what I mean?
That has a lot to do with it. I mean, you got to understand that these teams, when they draft players for their home field. So I got to believe that Gurley, who had his worst outing last week, is going to come back and play better. I mean, I know Arizona's a very good defense, but they can be run on. Let me put it that way. So it's not like they're the best, but they're in the top 5 or 10, but I still got to believe that the talent of Todd Gurley is going to prevail and he'd be able to give you decent fantasy points in that position.
How many you think he'll give me, you think? How many you think you'll be able to get?
Gurley?
To tell you the truth,
I think he'll give you mid-teens. I think he gets a trip into the end zone. He's also using the passing game, too. So, is this a PPR or no?
Yeah, it's a PPR because looking for him to get about 13 in the CBS league that my son's in. I think 18 for Johnson. I think 13 for McFadden, maybe 11 for C.J. Anderson. But again, their predictions. I've seen predictions get blown out where people score more. Just like I didn't play Riddick in my PPR league in Yahoo. They said Riddick was supposed to give me 11 or 12 points. He only gave 8. So, yeah,
right.
You know what I mean? You never know. It's just an estimation. Some guys
right.
go off weeks and others. But he's got to be due because he's had 3 weeks in a row where he hasn't looked good early. And so hopefully maybe he gets going. Like you said, if you're going to go down, I like the guy that has the rock more. Like, you know, Johnson ain't got nobody behind him. I mean, Gurley has Mixon, but Gurley's really the man. In that Hillman,
yeah.
T.J. Anderson thing, hey, it's a beautiful matchup, don't get me wrong. And Anderson may go off, too. And both
well,
of them
well
may.
Let me put it this way. It's Gary Kubiak. And T.J.
Yeah.
Anderson may have had a career day last week. And then
right.
this week, he may only get 2 or 3 touches. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but Kubiak may feature Ronnie Hillman this week. He's in that mentality, a Mike Shanahan type of mentality that he doesn't care what you did last week. He's going to go with this week, and it could be a Bill Belichick type of thing. Guy coming
right.
from nowhere, and this guy sits in C.J. Anderson, hardly sees the field. So
right.
I mean, he may go off, but in my opinion,
right.
if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my best. I don't want my best running back, if I think Todd Gurley's my best running back, to be sitting on the bench, go off,
right.
and all those fantasy points be sitting on the bench, and I'm after the season or after this week, I'm going to say I could have, would have, should have, when I should have put
right.
the guy in the first place. I'm always believing in putting your studs in and let your studs work. If they don't, at least you put your studs in and you gave yourself a chance and not put them on the bench.
You know, he's won, like I said, you know, 7 out of the last 8. And Gurley's been in there. Sometimes he does
right.
good, you know, for games. So, and receivers have always been the same, those 4 receivers, you know, tight end, use his Barnes or Gates, you know, so that's been consistent. Get defense consistent. Dalton's
right.
been quarterback, not Rat Ryan anymore. So he's been
mm-hmm.
consistent there. But running back has always been Gurley and somebody else, either Gurley and McFadden or
mm-hmm.
Gurley and Faulkner or Gurley
mm-hmm.
and Lewis. So
mm-hmm.
that's why.
So why change it now? So you understand what I'm saying? So why change it now?
You know, and that's what I kind of – that's what I'm kind of thinking, because there's another thing I belong to, and I plug in that gives you who to play and stuff like that, and it actually said Gurley and Johnson too. So, you know, had Gurley getting a lot more points than you and I were thinking, which like 22. If he can get mid-teens at him, that's beautiful. If he gets 14 out of him, he'd be happy like a pig in the 80s. He had to
right.
win by 11. But he scored 2,000 points. This other guy scored 2,100 points. So they're
mm-hmm.
number 1 point. He's 8. That guy's 8-4. And we're 7-5. So it's a matter of we don't want to leave. We want to put our best possible scoring people out there. And wherever it lies, it lies. At least he gave it his best shot. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not
exactly.
overthink something. So I really appreciate it, my friend. You bring a lot of good things to light there. And again, I'm trying not to overthink for him. He's away. So I'm just trying to make sure things are tweaked for him. So I really appreciate that. Best of luck to you and the leagues you're in this week. Hopefully we chat next week that he did make the playoffs there, and hopefully everything works out for us. Thanks again for your time. I appreciate it. Enjoy your Sunday. Thank you very much.
Same to you, man. Good luck this week.
Yep. Appreciate it. Take care. Thank you.
No problem.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. I hope I gave you some other people that were listening to fantasy advice. I always believe if you're going to go down, you go down with your best. That was I expressed that with that caller. If you're going to go down, you go down with your studs. Guys, that you don't overthink it. Don't overthink it, because that stud that you sit, the guy who's been balling out, even though he may have had 1 or 2 bad weeks, okay, he's had 1 or 2 bad weeks, but he's been one of your studs up until those 1 or 2 bad weeks. Don't sit him, because that's the week. Especially this week when you need all your studs, you need all the best shots that you can in your lineup to give you as many fantasy points as you can, and hopefully you come out with a win. And if you're on the edge, like I said, beginning of the show, you're on the edge of whether you get into the playoffs or not, you put your studs out there and hope for the best. At least you go down with the best. You don't try to overthink it. You try to overthink it. You put you try to outsmart yourself and put somebody in there that either the projections say it's going to have a better shot at points than your stud. You put your stud on your bench, your stud that you thought, because the matchup looked bad, goes off, and that's what studs do. They go off at times, for the most part. And then you're gonna shake your head and say, why'd I do that when I should have put him in there? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. It's going to get you. Wait till next year. That's my shoulda, woulda, coulda. Gonna get you to the phrase. I'll wait till next year. You don't want that with a shot of getting a trophy or some monetary gain if you're in the playoffs and have a shot, because all you have to do is get in the playoffs. Doesn't make a difference how you got in the playoffs. Just get in the playoffs, and everybody has a shot, whether it's the first seed or you're the last seed. You need to just get into the playoffs for a shot, because you can get on a run. All you have to do is get fortunate enough to get on a run, win a few rounds to get to the championship, and you never know what may happen. But you got to get into the playoffs first. So put your studs in there and just hope for the best. You know, like I said, part of winning fantasy is putting your studs in there and not overthink it. And it takes skill to draft, to play your players from week to week. But it also takes week to week a little luck. And that's a fact. It takes a little luck, fantasy luck. Players not getting hurt, players getting hurt, but you have to back up. Are you fortunate enough to pick up somebody who blows up off the waiver wire? You have to have skill and luck. And some works better than others week to week. So it is what it is, and you just hope for the best. All right, let's move on. We only got a few minutes left. Unfortunately, people, I'm not going to be able to cover all these weeks. I'm sorry about that. But hopefully you've been listening to what I've been saying up until this point, and you've been able to benefit from that. What I'm telling you is this. You go with your studs. Guys that have carried you this far, put them in your lineup and let them work their magic. At least you give it your best shot with the best players that you have on your roster. Overthink it, and you overthink yourself right out of the playoffs. Plain and simple. If the studs don't work out, it is what it is. It is what it is. All right, let's move on to the next matchup real quick. I got Ravens versus the Dolphins. Here we go with this. All right, Jarvis Landry is a big play here. You got to play Jarvis Landry without a doubt. No doubt about it. Against one of the worst defenses against the pass in Baltimore, Jarvis Landry, huge play. Devontae Parker's getting more play. You play him in here also. If you're hurting for a quarterback, this is probably one of the times I would tell you to play Ryan Tannehill, because Baltimore is in the bottom quarter of preventing fantasy points against the quarterback position, and Tannehill is on a 3-game streak of multiple passing touchdowns. So I would say play Ryan Tannehill. On the other side of the ball in Baltimore, Kamir Akin is a good play here, because the Miami Dolphins are 25th in preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position. And also Javoris Allen is a good play here, because they're 29th in preventing fantasy points in the running back position. So those two guys are definite plays, Kamir Akin and Javoris Allen. And Rishard Matthews is already out. And Kenny Stills is questionable to play. Those are the two guys that on the Baltimore side, and three guys on the Miami side to play. Well, I'm not going to keep you guys any longer. I'm sorry I didn't get to all of them. Hopefully that you make the right decisions in your playoff push. And we'll be talking to you in week 14 when the playoffs start for the majority of you. Some start in 15. Others have started this week. But for the most part, week 14 is when you start. Good luck in your fantasy quest to get to the playoffs. And then we'll be talking to you next week, and I guarantee you, people, I'll talk about every matchup regardless. We'll allocate the time to make sure that we cover every matchup in the all-important first week for most of you in the fantasy playoffs. See ya.